Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Misunderstood the motion, and I thought the motion, I'll take the blame, that I misunderstood the motion. I thought the motion was to take everything to the board, to let the board decide. I didn't feel like it was right for just five of us, when there's a lot of money, to not let the whole board decide. So I will take the fault for not clarifying the motion.
And if we are here to help children, we have to help the organizations as well. That's why I made that motion, Stephanie, to come have this. And now people going around, oh, it was all confusing. I mean, read the minutes. I mean, I did not speak Ebonics. I was very clear on the way in which the motion was made. People had the right to vote. Now people can lobby and do whatever they want to do, but go behind it. I still stand on that.
Okay, so Lumen May, Commissioner of District 3 in Escambia County, sits on the Escambia Children's Trust, a project that he advocated heavily for and has been very vocal about afterwards, wanted to be on it. I will ask the question, because I think it's a question worth asking, of whether he should continue to be on it, whether maybe not Mike Kohler should be on it, or Ashley, you know, should be on it. We'll come back to why in just a minute, but this is Stephanie White, who is the vice chair, and she's talking about one of the committee meetings in which there was a motion made, and it had to do with whether the whole board would review all the applications for final approval of the grant dollars being given out or not. There were other issues in this meeting, especially in the prefatory meetings, like one of the board members actually quit after she downscored from 25 to 0 both the county and the city applications because she thought that's money already being generated. Those are other people's dollars. We should be doing other stuff with the Escambia Children's Trust. Lumen was angry at her for that and criticized her heavily for it, and she winds up quitting the board over it. Or that and maybe other things. I don't want to speak for her that that's the only reason. You know, there's this question of whether we're only funding big organizations that have the kind of the experience to navigate the grants process and get the applications and do it right versus creating capacity, which means giving money from the Escambia Children's Trust to organizations that are just starting, you know, kind of startups, entrepreneurial, take a shot, see if we can do something. And then if it does well, we can grow. And if it doesn't, well, you know, we tried. And Lumen's been complaining that the scoring was done inappropriately, that the scoring was biased, that the scoring was political. He's kind of gently inferring that some of this might have been racist. The I wasn't speaking Ebonics is definitely in that direction. But the idea that we're only giving to the big agencies, not the small ones. Now, Lindsay Cannon, who is the executive director and took over this agency a couple years ago and has done great. I mean, she's genuinely the right person for this job. It's a lot of money. I think it's $11 million a year. From about a 0.38 mil, I think, which means that on a $100,000 valuation, you pay $38 a year is how it works. So it's a lot of money. They've done a lot of good things. They were really in chaos in the first couple of years. There was a lot of bad things that happened, a lot of things that were, you know, just wasn't done well. But she has brought in professionalism to clean it up, partially on the back end to make sure the work that's being done is good work, that it's actually goals are being accomplished, and on the front end, bringing in professional standards, applications, and just making sure that it's done right. Well, Lumen, okay, I think he's frustrated because there's a lot of people that are coming to him, begging him to help them get their project approved so that they can, the charitable version, help kids, the uncharitable version, get paid. You know, and the money's not flowing quite the way they thought it was. I think he's also feeling the pinch with the, you know, the discretionary dollars and, you know, stuff that is also sometimes used to do well for the people who support you. I'll say very, very generally like that. And so, you know, how is this all playing out? Well, he's frustrated. Now, again, you can always a lot of these things with politics. And I like Lumen. He's a friend. But you can read things a charitable way, and you can read things an uncharitable way. Charitable way is he's just trying to get the organization to do what it's supposed to do, which is build capacity to help kids and do good things in the community, and they're being too stingy with the dollars. We should be more freewheeling with the dollars. Or the uncharitable view is, well, you know, this is a bunch of people thought this was a way that they could make some money, and there's been a lot of money spent, not all very well controlled, and, you know, they're complaining to him that it's getting harder to get the money because the grant process is tightened up. You pick your view, okay? But he has come to this meeting to complain that things are not being done properly, that we're not building capacity. The big organizations, like the, he's saying, kind of like Walmart, are pushing out the mom and pops. We should be experimenting. We should be giving the money a lot more freely. We'll come back to this in a second because that's just the background, but we'll get there in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still working that accident that happened at 9th Avenue in Fairfield, right around that intersection. If you're driving eastbound on Fairfield, expect about a five-minute delay as you approach 9th Avenue. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So questions that are kind of come up in these clips. Do you award grants when somebody gets 80 out of 110, which would be an, one way of looking at it as a B, or do you give it to them when it's 88 out of 110, which is technically a B at 80% of 110? Do you give full grants at 350,000, or do you give smaller grants like micro grants of 50,000? The technical scoring, have they just included all the proper papers and pieces of evidence as opposed to the actual grant scoring, which is the quality of the project? The staff doesn't score the grants themselves. They do the technical scoring only. But a lot of this stuff is going to come up, and I just wanted to give you a little background on some of the drama here.
If you never give someone an opportunity to fail, you'll never give them an opportunity to succeed. We have some organizations that are getting millions of dollars, and we have other organizations that are just trying.
Yeah, and there's a sense in which that's right, and we want to help the small ones. But if the small ones can't get their act together, and we're trying hard, there's a lot of effort put forward by the Children's Trust staff under Lindsay to try to even help the sort of hopeful applicants to get their ducks in line so that they can get the grants. The board doesn't want to hang on to the money. They want to be out there doing good. Stephanie White.
What about the CARES grant? That's what we did. We did the CARES grant, which gave all the small organizations the ability to, you know, apply, and that's how so many of them, I don't know what the number was, how
on
many
a lower threshold
for CARES
also.
Grant got the CARES
there was 14, and we actually extended 14. The dollar amount because we had more that scored 80 and above, so we were able to do that.
That's what the smaller organizations got to do, and they got the CARES grant, and they could have applied again for this one and because they got their feet wet. And so we do mom and pop, in your, I mean, we do help the small organizations with the CARES grants. So this, you know.
So if we deny them, and it was a good grant, we could refer them today to the CARES grant.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. And so the people who
could fund them now through the CARES grant.
Who are not 80 and above, they can go to the CARES grant, they can get a smaller grant.
And we can make that decision today.
And that's actually a fairly good idea to have a two-tier system where you have the big grants for the ones who score the highest and have all their things proper. And then a lower level, maybe $50,000, where it's not as high scoring, not as high qualifying, maybe they have some issues. But you got to be able to make sure the money's being spent well.
Other part of this process is with the team, what we have done, we wanted to get to this place, but it was being able to sit down with those folks that applied and go back through their grant to help strengthen them. We've done that all along with anyone that's requested that, even before they've applied or even after. But I will say this, our team was available for 5 financial sessions in person to teach people how to do their budgets. We did 6 weeks, I believe, of technical assistance as well as question and answer. We did an hour and a half on this is the grant and this is how you fill it out. There were ample opportunities for people to come. We want more people in our community. So I want to be very clear about that.
They are bending over backwards to help anybody who might even possibly qualify for these grants to see if there's a way they can get them to that point, which is what they should be doing. But they can't just dump the money out the window. They are a government agency taking taxes to do public purpose things. Somebody texted in, I don't think we should be supporting charities in the first place. These are not charities. These are child-oriented services paid for with tax dollars. They're not charities.
We as a team, and I will speak for us and those that are not here, want to see it happen. The money doesn't do any good sitting in our checking account, but we need to have quality. And I will say from the beginning, that is the thing we promised our community as well, is that we would have high-quality programming. And so, yes, do we need to build capacity? Absolutely. But there is a quality threshold, which is what we put together as a very clear guide that we could work with small and large nonprofits related to our expectations of investment and taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, all correct.
As much as I want to treat this as a philanthropic organization, it is not. We have a fiduciary duty. You are a gubernatorially appointed and statutorily appointed board. And so I think that we get confused a lot of times with a foundation, and we're not. We are a governing entity that's taking tax dollars. And so I take that very seriously. I impress that upon my team as well. And so we've got to have some level of standard. But could we look at opportunities to bring people up? Absolutely, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Lindsay's exactly right. And again, I think Lindsay has been doing a great job to basically reform or right-size this agency so that it is doing correctly with the dollars, tracking them, you know, making sure that agencies qualify, and helping them to learn how to qualify for a process that may be a little bit alien to them. But in the background, my suspicion is that a bunch of people are bending Lumen's ear about we can't qualify, help, you know, they're not helping us enough.
In terms of where this grant is, I mean, listen, I didn't make A's in statistics, but I do understand standard deviation. Statistically, the processing, the scoring would be screwed if you had someone on something that was empirical on just a submittal of a document, and someone gets a zero and someone gets a 25. No scientific project would weigh, because that is statistically screwed, and because it becomes objective. And I appreciate the grants committee. I don't appreciate the grants committee when they take their personal biases to grade and critique programs just based on your assumption.
Well, and again, that disagreement, Tori Woods, and she wound up leaving the board over that. That's where she scored the county and the city down to zero from 25, which is weird, because I would think Lumen wouldn't be upset by that, because he wants the smaller ones, not the city-county scale ones, to get the money. But he seems to be on both sides of this, I think in part because he's with the county and he wants them to get their program funded too. So there's a bit of a play on both sides of the fence on this.
If we wanted to go by the application, we brought people in and then we changed their scores, I mean, that's unfair. If we said that we were here to help people and not hurt people, why didn't we help them improve it? If it was flawed, if it was not a good application, you turn it away. That's what happens with a grant. It's late, denied. You don't have the signature on it, it's denied. I mean, if you don't have, you did not. You, why would you say, well, we're going to accept a grant and evaluate a grant and it's all discombobulated? I mean, it's not submitted right. Why would you even bring citizens in and nonprofit and embarrass them if you're saying that their grant was not submitted correctly? And so I don't agree with that.
Or maybe they weren't submitted correctly, but you brought them in for kind of an oral question and answer in the hopes that you would get the information you need in order to approve them, and they still didn't perform under those circumstances. Maybe you were trying to do a kindness for them as opposed to trying to humiliate and embarrass them. But again, they felt bad about it, didn't get what they wanted, go run into the county commissioner behind the scenes, and he comes here and, you know, flays the staff and the board for doing what his people are complaining to him about them doing wrong.
The point for me is that we're not giving new people an opportunity. We're giving the same people with the same children more of an opportunity, and that's unfair. And, you know, I'll say that, but I'm not going to stay here all day arguing it.
Well, you kind of have already.
So I'm going to renew my motion for the $350,000, which is a lot of money, to give those two who scored a B and above. And then we can look into, my second motion would be, or my, would be to look, to challenge, to give the staff the ability to look into Duke CARES grant for the remaining funding.
Okay, so that's the idea of the big grants for the better scoring ones and the smaller grants for the lesser scoring ones, and the effort that they might, and the hope that they might eventually do well and graduate up, so to speak, through the process. I like that. That makes sense to me as a taxpayer. I get the feeling like basically Commissioner May is just upset that they're not, hey, we got $11 million, let's spend $11 million. Oh, no, sir. You know, you can have $11 million, but it's okay to spend less than that if you can't find good, eligible, qualifying programs that meet the criteria that are going to be subject to good standards and review and accountability afterwards. I'd rather you not squander the money just because you have it. And the idea of, you know, people getting different scoring than they accept or than they expect, well, if it's justified, right? And do you know the difference between the technical application and the actual grant application?
Liz, I follow you. Very clearly. The teacher gave me a B, and then when I went home, my mother, who has passion and is not quite informed, gave me an F. And so that's why I tell you the scoring is unfair. And so, I mean, there's no way you can convince me of that. I mean, the staff gave them an 80, and then we had some people brought people down to a 47 or a 57, reading the same information. They were not allowed to change the information. Just because someone is not a public speaker and maybe it's not as articulated as someone else who doesn't have the experience as someone else that came in the presentation and you didn't like what they said, the staff that's paid to critique this gave them an 80. I mean, and so it was under review. But, I mean, it's a motion, and we could be here all day, and I don't want to do that. So hopefully we can work something out. But I just want to point out that discrepancy.
But the staff didn't review the grants. They just reviewed if they turned in everything correctly. They didn't even look at the grants. Did y'all even
read? Well, how the hell did you score it then, Stephanie?
It's a technical review.
It's a technical review. The grants committee was in charge of reviewing the subjectivity of the
grants. Do you know the difference between the two, sir? You're laying out the staff and the other board members over a thing you misunderstood because you didn't do your homework. I mean, I don't know. I know there's a lot of times when Lumen shows up to the regular county commission meeting and hasn't read the backup. That's not me. I mean, nobody says it out loud, but everybody knows it because if you watch the meetings, it's obvious. Is that true here too? Is he just worked up about because he doesn't understand and hasn't asked the right questions ahead of time? Or does he want to make a public spectacle? I don't even know if he's trying to tank the Children's Trust at this point. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't quite all add up to me. I think they have really put the reforms on properly, and they're trying to do good stuff and want to do good stuff. And I find his level of frustration and allegation to be unjustified and, quite frankly, disappointing. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still working that accident that happened at East Fairfield and 9 Mile. If you are traveling on East Fairfield approaching 9th Avenue, did I say 9 Mile?
I guess. I don't know what you said.
Okay, 9th Avenue. You're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And if you're on 9th Avenue coming southbound toward Fairfield, you're going to see about a 4 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You know what Kevin always says? You can say anything you want on your last day. Guess what day it is? Yeah, John's leaving, unfortunately. It's very sad for us. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty, they're so good at this. Now, I know what you're likely to do. It's because you're humans. It's normal. You've got a buddy or somebody goes to church with or somebody you play racquetball with, whatever that, you know, maybe pickleball these days, that, you know, they're a realtor and you're going to go with them because you know them. And I understand that. But how many homes did they sell last year? You can ask. It's not unfair to ask. You know, how long did they take to sell? I mean, you can ask some basic questions and then call somebody like Christina Leavenworth and ask her the same questions or other questions, whatever you want to do. And then, you know, go with the person that gives you the greatest sense that you're going to really accomplish this mega important decision in your life, thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Cause you know, you're not hiring a friend, you're hiring a realtor. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't hire your friend. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just saying, get more than one opinion. Really interview people for professional services, and then you make a choice. She and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty sold 209 homes last year, 4 a week. It's crazy. They are very, very effective. But you talk to her and find out for yourself. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune into our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought it was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, found documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident restoration...
7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts in. I don't know what's going on with Loom in May, but the Escambia Children's Trust program is fantastic. It's helped a lot of kids over the last year, especially. Hopefully, they get everything figured out. I agree. And I don't want to see the people who are doing the work properly and trying to reform it and make it effective get attacked unjustly and get accused of unfairness or even racism. I think that's inappropriate, and that's why I'm calling it out, because I think what they're doing is good, especially now.
News, I'm Roxanne Evans. Iran State TV claiming three foreign tankers attempting an unauthorized passage of the Strait of Hormuz were turned back after warnings by the IRGC Navy.
The UN's International Maritime Organization says the ship did not travel under the evacuation framework it established, and the IRGC Navy has warned any ship passing through a new shipping route without Iran's coordination is unacceptable and dangerous.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Israel dropping flyers on a southern Lebanese town, ordering people to leave in the first such order since the ceasefire, according to Lebanese state media. Neighbors digging through rubble in Venezuela, searching for missing loved ones after two powerful earthquakes, at least 235 people dead, thousands injured. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning, 77 and cloudy skies right now. We'll get a look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. Today's the deadline for the city of Pensacola to hand over another batch of records to the Florida Department of Government Efficiency. Mayor D.C. Reeves says he has zero concern about what that review is going to find.
We stand behind our work and that we're good stewards of the taxpayer dollar. How those things are calculated when they leave here, I can't control, but I can certainly stand behind the effort of our city employees.
And this is the second time the state efficiency office has requested records from the city. An outside audit completed less than a month ago came back clean. City staff across multiple departments spent the week putting the documents together to meet today's deadline. Well, some Pensacola shoppers have been making the drive to Mobile for years. That changed yesterday when the area's first Costco opened on East 9 Mile Road. Thousands of people showed up. That was before the sun even rose.
Honestly, I didn't even know Costco was a store until one of my people at work were like, oh, Costco opens in like 6 months, and it's been on the calendar since.
And that shopper talked with WEAR. The store brings more than 100 jobs to the Pensacola area and keeps local sales tax dollars in the community. Economist Rick Harper tells Channel 3 it's another sign of a growing local economy. The store includes a gas station, of course, like most warehouse stores, requires a membership for in-store shopping. A Pensacola Boulevard used car dealer is facing a stalking charge after a 10-month campaign of harassment against the owner of a neighboring Mexican restaurant. Deputies say they arrested Abdallah Alishkar after investigators say he repeatedly entered Taco Rock 29's property despite a trespass warning, blocked the restaurant's entrance with his vehicles, broke property markers, wrote bad reviews online, and told the owner to go back to Mexico. Alishkar was released on $15,000 bond. Now the city of Pensacola and Escambia County making some progress on the proposed Bay Center Convention Facility expansion, although officials do say there's still a lot of work to do. A consulting agency is currently working on a deeper look at what that second facility should include, specifically how much ballroom, meeting space, and hospitality amenity space makes sense. The city is also had what officials describe as productive conversations with ownership of the Grand Hotel, about their potential role in the bigger development picture. The county also moving forward with procurement of an owner's representative to help guide both governments through the next steps in that process. Well, law enforcement and fire agencies across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties have spent 3 days now going without donuts to raise food and money for MANA. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says the cause is worth the sacrifice.
The money and the food goes to MANA, and having been on the board, MANA for the board member for MANA, I know that the food stays here local. And
yeah,
that's very important to me.
Today is the final day. First responders will be at the Walmart on Creighton Road from 3 until 6. 9 agencies are participating, including Pensacola Police, Pensacola Fire, both county sheriff's offices, Gulf Breeze Police and Fire, Escambia Fire Rescue, Midway, and Pace Fire Rescue. Donations can also be dropped off at MANA from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. today. Well, Florida's drought conditions are getting better after this week's heavy rainfall. Forecasters say the drought's not over yet, though. The National Weather Service does say that the worst conditions, extreme drought rated a 3 on a 0 to 4 scale, remain in South Florida and the Big Bend area. The National Weather Service expects drought conditions to persist through September. 735 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We've got one accident. We're working South Blue Angel Parkway right there in front of the Walmart Super Center. It's a vehicle crash with injuries. It's off to the side of the road, but we're still seeing some slowdowns there. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are all good. Highway 90, 98, 29. Are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing small chance of rain today, 20% overall, high near 90 degrees, feeling warmer with the humidity. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 81. For Saturday, 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Going into Sunday, sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Second active Chancery News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 77 degrees, cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
With your money now. Prediction market platform Polymarket said on CNBC that its annualized revenue is now well above $1 billion. It comes 6 weeks after the company lifted the wait list for access to its U.S. exchange and as its international platform sees huge volume growth thanks to the FIFA World Cup. Airwallex has raised $320 million in a Series H round at an $11 billion valuation. The fintech seeks to accelerate its push into AI-driven autonomous finance. Airwallex has faced growing scrutiny over its ties to China amid broader anxiety over how the company handles critical data. Two Federal Reserve officials have indicated some optimism on inflation, though neither indicated a likelihood that interest rates will change anytime soon. Chicago Federal Reserve President Austin Goolsbee said on CNBC that inflation is still trending the wrong way. A little later in the afternoon, New York Fed President John Williams said he expects inflation readings to start trending lower. Futures have dropped this morning. NASDAQ futures still down by more than 300 points. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pet in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Bruce. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought I was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 a.m. 1620.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back.
What Stefan and Wes has told me, if this passes, it'd be $42 million the first year that would be taken out of our budget. $300 million. The next year would be 65 to 70. And 28, if the penny for progress didn't pass, that'd be another $70 million. That'd be $130 to $140 million that this board would have to figure out what to do. Those are not sustainable numbers to maintain the same services. It's just not possible. Yesterday, I'm with Stefan and the county administrator, and we're throwing darts trying to figure out what to cut.
Mike Kohler, Escambia County Commissioner for District 2, talking about the possibility if both the property tax referendum passes and the local option sales tax renewal fails to pass, that it would basically create a funding delta, they like to say is the vogue term. I don't like that term. It sounds too sanitary. A budget deficit, a revenue gap of $130 to $140 million, sort of worst-case scenario. Now, they're each independent items, and you never know, but they, you know, both might pass, both might fail. Who knows? Different effects in different ways. But, yeah, I mean, you'd have to cut services, obviously. You know, you can't dump $100 million off the budget and not have to change things. But meanwhile, and just if you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know that I still go back and forth on this property tax referendum for all kinds of reasons. It's also fair to describe this thusly. Yes, it would be a, let's say worst case, $140 million loss to the county budget. That's a $140 million giveaway to Escambia County citizens. I mean, you know, that's if you start doing that math, like divide $140 million by, I don't know, what, 200,000 taxpayers, 300,000 taxpayers, 330,000, 50,000 people in the county. It's not a small amount of money that would be potentially going into your pocket. So though the county that's trying to run the business of doing county government is thinking from the perspective of, oh, woe is us, and it's not that they're wrong, because they get criticized if they don't do enough of things like the filling the potholes and having the ambulances and all that and the fire. Okay, some of which are funded by ad valorem, some of which are not. I'm not trying to slop these distinctions over. But, you know, if the budget gets cut and they have to cut services, people are going to squeal. Of course. But, you know, at the same time, those people are going to be sitting on a little bit bigger wallet. Let's not forget that that is also a part of this.
I mean, these are going to be huge cuts. People, services, the trim line will look minor compared to this. I like that the people get to decide, but I also think they need to know the gravity of the situation. It is a very going to be, you will not have the same services. And I cannot be clear about it, but I will do what the will of the people want.
By the way, just as a thought experiment of sorts, you know that the county commissioners, if you wanted them to, or if you elected people who would, could have this dramatic of an effect on your taxes on their own without a state referendum. Now, I don't know if they could change the homestead exemption in Escambia County. I'm not sure if they have the authority to. I think they probably don't. But they could just reduce the millage or change the millage for homeowners as opposed to, you know, commercial. I mean, there are things they could do. Like, we have the level of spending and taxation we have because we vote for the people who have created this level of spending and taxation. If we wanted different, we could elect different. We don't have different because we didn't elect different. So just the state isn't necessarily doing us this huge favor that we couldn't do for ourselves if we wanted to. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I'm not a big fan of this is because I don't think that putting it in the state constitution is the best solution. You could, in fact, get, you know, I mean, let each county vote, county by county. You know, we could have 150 and Bay County could have none. I mean, I don't know. As a, you know, a homestead exemption. Anyway, just some thoughts before we get back to the conversation. This was a really good discussion about the implications of this thing of Committee of the Whole meeting last week. Gray Robinson, the lobbyists were there to kind of answer questions and walk them through it. They do a great job. Chris Dawson there does a great job. Anyway, I'll get back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still working that accident that happened on South Blue Angel Parkway right there in front of the Walmart Supercenter. No roadblock associated with this one, but I'm starting to see just minor delays in that area. And we've got another one. Nope. Avalon and Highway 90. No roadblock there. No delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. The other day I was watching the Milton City Council meeting, one of the less controversial portions of it. And I was listening to a presentation about their benefits. And it was a really good presentation. Very thoughtful, very in-depth, and making recommendations about why not to leave the kind of group-oriented plan that they're in, even though they'd save money this year, because in the future they might have to pay more money. It'd be hard to get back into that plan if things go sideways on them. Plus, they overconsume benefits compared to how much they pay in, you know, their premiums. And it turns out the presentation was being done by none other than, you know, Reed Torgerson, who's our guy at Torgerson Consulting. And I know Reed real well because we've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 5 years, and he's great. He's not a miracle worker. You know, he works within the boundaries that are out there in the marketplace. Thanks, Obama. But, you know, out of the things that are available, he always brings us good choices, the best available. We have choices. We didn't have that with our previous company. So we love them. My wife is a big fan. They do benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that. They've been doing it for 25 years since 2001 here in Escambia, Santa Rosa County. And like I said, they're fantastic. She's an industrial engineer, and she gives Reed her two thumbs up. She's like, hey, he always answers the questions. If he doesn't know, he goes and finds out. That's good stuff. So if you have a business and you are looking for a new way or wondering if there is a better way, give them a call. No obligation. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com for Torgerson Consulting. All right, back to the Escambia County Commission Committee of the Whole meeting. That's like a powwow session where they don't do any votes, but they take in information and talk amongst themselves. The public does not get to participate. Thank God. I mean, sometimes it's just nice, you know, like when you love your relatives, but you also want them to leave. That's like public forum. You know, you love the public, but you're kind of glad when they're not there, too. Back to their committee of the whole meeting. Lumen May is going to ask the question about how this referendum is polling. By the way, the earlier conversation we had at 6:35, if you're really interested in all this, really good questions raised about sales tax, about the rollback rate, how that's going to work with all this, and nobody has any idea. And just several other things that came up in the earlier conversation. I don't want you to miss it if you find this fascinating. Lumen May asking Chris Dawson, how is this thing polling? Should we be worried?
Has there been a lot of polling? What are the polls showing in terms of the property tax referendum? Is it looking like it passes, doesn't pass? Is there a certain group that's supporting versus a certain group that doesn't support?
So it's interesting. We don't have any direct polling on the referendum itself because we just got the language. There hasn't been time to get out in the field to poll. But groups like the Florida Chamber, AIF, others have polled the issue. And I don't want to directly quote their numbers because I don't have them in front of me, but I'll just put it in sort of broad groups. The idea, you know, should residents be afforded property tax relief? That's the question. Very popular. High 70s, 80%. Yes. Should homestead property taxes be eliminated? Over 50%, under 60%. So that would not pass, at least in the polling that was done on that issue, to fully eliminate property taxes. Then you say, should your property taxes be eliminated at the expense of particularly emergency services and law enforcement? Then the approval takes a nosedive.
I would assume for schools would be the same effect. So what he's saying is it's not a slam dunk. depends how you phrase it, of course. Every poll, every sample, every referendum depends on phraseology. But if you say, you know, reduce, yes, eliminate, you know, and at what expense, you know, that's kind of that is my very scientific way of describing the variations in those polling and questions. Did I get that about right for you, John?
Yes, you did.
Very good.
I think that there is going to be a lot more direct polling on the referendum as passed by the legislature, and that'll give us a clear picture of where the electorate's going to land. Now, again, the examples I used was, you know, it was an elimination that sort of landed in that 50 to 60% spot. I think that's probably where this referendum is going to poll when it gets out and you know, sort of, let's call that the starting line of the race in November. My suspicion is it's in the low 50s. And then the question becomes, where does that adjust up or down? Some of that, I think, is going to be just relevant to kitchen table issues and probably the you know, second and third week of October. How much is gas? How much is a carton of milk? You know, and as folks are looking at their ledger at home, if prices are still substantially high and inflation's around 4%, that becomes a pretty attractive opportunity to realize the savings at the kitchen table. If the economy's more stable and if the messaging around the lack of services or reduction of services and potential risks to law enforcement.
Yeah, if the economy gets worse and people are very concerned about their pocketbook between now and November, that's one thing. How it gets phrased is another thing. Yeah, I mean, he's exactly right. There's a lot between here and there. All right, so Steve Stroberger is going to – this was the most interesting comment of the day, I'll say.
I think an unintended consequence is that we have a much smaller tax base. We can still raise the millage rate. Are we constitutionally held at 10? Is that what it is? And even then, I mean,
they can only go so high on the millage to offset the loss of overall taxable base, right? If the taxable base is bigger, you can reduce the millage. If the taxable base is smaller, to get the same revenue, you'd have to increase the millage, okay?
And even then, estimates that I looked at were we'd have to exceed 10 even just to make up that money. So if we did that, then we end up with this supersized tax, property tax bill for those other, for the that class that's being. Being taxed always.
So he's talking about commercial property, rentals, businesses, things that are not your homestead. You can raise the millage. That would cut out some of the savings for homestead properties, your home. But if you raise the millage dramatically, you're going to really shift the burden over onto businesses, apartments, rental homes, all of that kind of stuff.
You know, and then we end up with essentially a permanent welfare class.
Oh!
I don't know if I should say this, but there's that group are the ones that called the office the most about roads and stuff. They need the most work on their roads. And now they're not even going to be paying to get those roads fixed. So anyway, I still don't think it's right. I think it's still wrong. Thanks.
Now, from a diplomacy point of view, I do not think that was a smart choice. But from an accuracy point of view, he's not wrong. Here's what he's saying. If you don't want to pay home property taxes, but you still want all the services that businesses and rentals are going to fund, you're a welfare queen. That's what you're saying. You want the benefits of somebody else paying for the services that you think the county ought to provide or the city ought to provide. Now, again, I don't know that everybody loves to be told they're a welfare queen, that they want property tax. This is why I have said from the beginning, what, John? I don't like property taxes. I hate them. But I am willing to pay to fund government in other ways because I don't want to freeload.
Right.
I mean, that's wrong, too. And he's right. If you exempt these people from paying for the services, but they're still getting the services while somebody else is paying for them, that is a form of redistribution of wealth or welfare or socialism, however you want to call it. It's not a conservative Republican idea, even though the original idea of cutting property taxes or eliminating them is a very conservative idea. Jonathan, you are dying to get on the microphone, aren't you? Do you want in here? I got two more clips I want to play. Do you want to say your say?
The most entitled.
Are
the most offended.
Of course.
In
always.
Right. And it's
if you're a homestead owner and me saying that's a form of welfare or redistribution of wealth or socialism that offends you, it's because you have been approaching this from the entitlement perspective of I'm entitled to government services, and I'm thrilled about the idea of not having to pay for them. This thing on?
Silence.
But I highlight this recently in some of the forums because people think that there's this mass waste of money. In 2006, the millage in Escambia County was 8.75. 2007, it went down to 8. 2007, I said it went to 8.01. 2008, it went to 6.975. When you gentlemen came on, you lowered it to 6.615. Last year, it went to 6.6. In the last 20 years, this board has not raised the millage. And we have more revenue that's coming in. That is a very positive, fiscally good story for the county, and we need to tell people that. That is responsible governance. And we're doing the right stuff. But I just don't think we shared enough. And I think
to your point, not only that we didn't increase millage, we rolled back millage, and the school board increased millage.
Right.
I mean, bottom line.
I think that we need to share with the public that this board, for the last 20 years, has reduced the millage over and over and over.
And the question is, do you want it to be reduced some more? Stephen Hall, budget director, says, yeah, $40 million, then $60 million, and then the library would be $3 to $4 million based on the current structure. And obviously that would mean a change of services. So, again, this is a long conversation. We're going to be having this again and again. I'm always trying to bring you either good information or new information or different perspectives because I want you to think about it. I want you to be consistent with your principles, and I want you to be informed because, you know, my goal is to make, this Escambia and Santa Rosa County the most well-informed populations in the state or the country. I want you to know, and that's why we talk about this stuff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now, just seeing some minor delays on I-10 westbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. So it's just a couple-minute delay. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition. Cars that have almost always had one, possibly two prior owners. I know our car that we bought, basically because we were looking for a car to test drive, but it was such a good price, and, you know, we had to get it. It was exactly the right one we were looking for, and we couldn't find one anywhere else. We called it our unicorn. 13,000 or 12,000 miles of 1 year, came back off of a lease in Orlando. The dealership couldn't sell, so they put it for auction, and Frontier bought it. We bought it from them. Easy. And then the way they followed up with me made me feel like, this is the place. These are the people who went right, that I want to go back to them. I want to support them. I trust them. They warranty their cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles, so you're never going to get a good one. The point is, Frontier has been serving the Pensacola community for 29 years. Behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm going to infuriate some people here with this one. This should be fun. You ready, John?
I'm ready.
You can say anything on your last day, and it's your last day, I'm sorry to say. For reasons that he wishes he didn't have to go, but he does just for stuff. Somebody says, you call them welfare queen if they take the benefits and don't pay the money. What do you call it if you've been paying for years and were never offered and have never used any of the services? Good question. I don't know. But I will say this. Oh, man. Here goes. If you look at the actual cost to the community of a data center where they rarely use fire, rarely use police, rarely use, they don't use schools, there's no kids living in those buildings, and they generate millions of dollars in tax revenue to the county, they're the ones that pay a ton and don't drain the services at all. Just a thought in the conversation about data centers.